we're going to get into what we surround ourselves with. So many people are worried or concerned, but yet not intentional of what they surround themselves with. It's an old saying that you're the aggregate of the five people that you spend the most time with. I disagree with that statement. I think that we are and should surround ourselves with teams. And we should be intentional about the position we want to play on those teams, because to get to where we want to be or better in surrounding ourselves, we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people, places, things, events, situations, energy that will give us directions to where we want to be, but also allow us to give other people directions to where they want to be, because that's the fastest way to get to where you want to be, is to find someone or something or some place, event, situation, or circumstance that is already where you want to be, and or help someone get to where they want to be by providing that energy, situation, event, circumstance. And so understanding that surrounding yourself with the right ideas is part of intentionality. Intentionality has five different components of what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. Being the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, we all know how important it is, how important our ideas are. First, we think our thoughts, and then we think our manifestations, our monetizations, and our materializations. And so the power of ideas is directly relative to the vibrations that we have, the frequency that we have. And that which vibrates the fastest is a thought, and that thought is the truth. And everything that we can be aware of is equated to how quickly we're vibrating, or our frequency. The stronger the frequency, the more people will resonate with us, and the more people will disagree with us as well. Remember, it's not just the people that subscribe to our ideas, it's the people that unsubscribe that are dealing with the strength of your signal. The spectrum of your signal will widen. That means that more people will be aware of you. It's especially important today as we look at the powers of ideas and frequency and vibration, that the total addressable community to everyone has escalated exponentially. And so understanding that in the past, not everybody had access to over 7 billion people. And then finally, the clarity of the message and the ideas of those messages, the frequency and the vibration, knowing that the speed of light is pretty quick, but the speed of thought is far quicker. And that's why focusing and refocusing back onto things will provide us a greater awareness and clarity in what we do. So when we work on surrounding ourselves with the right ideas, know the power of those ideas that's relative to the frequency or vibration of those ideas. You see, the earth vibrates the slowest, then plants, animals, humans, and then sound, and then light, and then thought. But we have to know that the thought that vibrates the fastest is the truth, and the truth is our potential. The truth lies within us and within the human experience. It is relative to man-made constructive time, linear time, the God's guarantee of 24 hours a day that you're guaranteed every day, except for the last day of your life. You'll be cheated minutes and moments. And so when we understand that thoughts vibrate the fastest, and we can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than us, whether it's at a cellular level, conscious level, subconscious level, or even in our unconscious competency, the epigenetic of the DNA indicating to us what frequency we're going to utilize in order to elevate our awareness, to make life easy, to dissipate the diseasy. And so our thoughts vibrate at the highest frequency, making them the most powerful influence that aggregates, accelerates, and compounds our outcomes, consequences, and coincidences of our entire human experience. The ideas we surround ourselves with will shape our perspective, which then will create our reality. We are projectors. And so, of course, we think a thought, and then the thinking of that is a projection of the reality, or the participation in the perception of that reality. So what we hear, what we see, and what we accept as truth is our participation in a meaning. Now, we're given control of our meanings, and therefore we do have the power of an idea, of a meaning, of a purpose with everything that we see. And that's where not only is wisdom incorporated within surrounding ourselves with the right ideas, but faith, because we don't know or understand what we see. And so we prescribe a meaning to what we see because we don't know or understand it. And so when there's no evidence that what we see is not leading us to where we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to become, or the evidence seems to be contrary to getting us to where we want to be or better, or where in what we want to become, we immediately lose faith. We think we're a victim. We feel punished instead of understanding within the concept of surrounding ourselves with the right ideas, participating in the right perception of those ideas, that we are promoted, protected, loved, and perfected. These are the chemistry of what we hear, say, think, and see. It's the vibration. It's the space between the music that shifts our mindset. And so this chemistry of what we hear, what we see, and what we accept as truth is part and parcel to understanding the faith and the wisdom that we give meaning to everything we see. And the meaning is only found within us. And that meaning is the only thing that limits us, because that meaning provides us a limitation on our self-image and our imagination, and you never will overachieve your imagination. Now, beyond the vibrations of understanding surrounding ourselves with the right ideas is what ideas are influenced by what we hear, because what we hear matters. As we utilize the five levels of intention of doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing, we only have five senses that incorporate the sixth sense of intellect, intuition, and inspiration. And so what we hear, not what is said, matters. In fact, the legendary coach Lou Holtz, I was in a conversation with him, and he was commenting when I first became a speaker on a speech that I gave. And I asked him for his takeaway. And I said, wow, I didn't realize I said that. And his quote back to me was, David, it's not what you say, it's what they hear and what they feel. And all are a matter of vibration or frequency. To take it a step farther, it's not what you do, it's what they witness, what meaning they give to what they do. Have you ever done anything with good intentions and the way that, in the meaning that people around you that you care about especially, give it a negative intention when all you were doing was trying to help? Have you ever heard the quote, no good deed goes unpunished? It's from taking what we hear matters to the next step into what we do is what they witness, is what the meaning that they give it. And some of those meanings are based off of snapshots of the past. So they come in participating in a perception of you looking for what they don't want, what's missing, or past and previous experiences, either that they've had with you or other people have told them about. And so we have to understand what we hear matters. It's a frequency and a vibration, and that every interaction with individuals and with anything and everything is an opportunity to find the light, the love, and the lessons through gratitude, forgive ourselves for any predisposed meaning in order to be kind and gracious, to be kind not only today in the present, but be kind to ourselves and others for their past. And that will allow us to be kind to our future selves. We look for people in their intention of progress, not perfection, because we can see progress either than perfection. We can realize that people are trying. And if we give it a perspective of light, love, and lessons, and that person is an accountable individual that takes responsibility, takes attraction, the law of attraction, attracting, and their participation in the perception and learns from it as well, they themselves take each day as a new opportunity, each idea as a new opportunity, and now we just need to prioritize all of those ideas in order to effectuate the intention aligned with where we want to be or better. But what we hear matters because it is also an influence on our intention. Mastering what is said, as Lou Holtz taught me, mastering your speech through ideas is essential. Knowing that it's not what you say, it's what they hear, but it's the meaning that they give what they hear, or it's not what you do, is what they witness, and it's the meaning that they give that witness. We want to master what we say, do, think, feel, and believe through thoughtfulness. And one of the key components, as I said, in the making of music is the space that exists between the notes. The same thing hold true about mastering your speech through thoughtfulness. And what I want you to think about is before actually speaking, notate that the thoughts become, that we think about thoughts before we think about what we're going to say. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're utilizing the human experience and the human capability at its best. So before we speak, when we realize that our thoughts about our thoughts are then the thoughts about what we say, it's best to slow down the man-made constructive time from the thought, because thoughts move at a miraculous speed. I always say that we can go back 100 million years in a matter of a few seconds. If I told you right now to shut your eyes and go back 100 million years, it would take a few seconds for you to be 100 million years in the past, or the same thing holds true for the future. So what we want to do is understand the speed of thought and the vibration and the frequency of thought, especially the truthful thoughts, are so fast that we better slow down the act of speaking so that we can think about our thoughts before we think about what we're going to say. And so in other words, we want to stop, drop, and roll, because if we go ahead and allow the thoughts to flow through us to others, we may not have time to calculate with intelligence, intuition, and inspiration what is best according to the circumstances today, which is a human experience compared to the infinite, powerful, truthful thought that you want to convey to others. And in other words, we can't allow the fire just to come through our mouth. When the fire comes out, you got to stop, breathe, pause, drop down to ease. And then let's master your speech through thoughtfulness and transform the reaction to that thought into a appropriate response aligned with where you want to be or better according to what you want, not what other people want, what's missing or what you don't have, or not reacting to fear with a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, separate, whatever it may be. Too many people do not master their speech through thoughtfulness. And so the practice of breathing is a tool to rewire our emotional response to fear with that need to be offended, need to be right, need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, and so on and so forth, to worry. So instead, we've all now are in the practice of utilizing one of the four necessities of life in order to effectuate the best way to speak our truth, not just think it. And so we've all stopped ourselves from saying something that we regret. Usually it's a reaction to fear. And breathing makes it easier to stop, drop, and roll and stop the dragon breath, the fire. If anyone's been in an intimate relationship, I'm sure you have experienced the dragon effect and you have spit fire over the people that you loved, and maybe you burned the relationship or your entire home down because you don't master the speech through thoughtfulness. Let's re-engineer our thoughts through the ability to be grateful, to find the light, the love, and the lessons, and forgiving. Forgiving of self and forgiving of others will stop us from speaking fire, from being a dragon before the words are spoken. And so first, remember, we think about our thoughts, then we think about what we're going to say. Let's stop in between that process, utilizing a pause and breathe methodology, a stop, drop, and roll. Remember, if you have dragon breath, you got to stop, you got to drop, and you got to roll back into ease, back into where you want to be or better. Don't burn down your house. Now, not only what we hear and say, but working within the context of intentionality, what we see affects our reality. And understanding that we want to surround ourselves with the right ideas, situation, events, circumstances, and content all affect our perception or participation in a perception, which we call our reality. Our reality is the materialization and monetization of our thoughts. And so today, instead of having to go search for a reality or an influence in reality. When we search for what we wanted to hear, say, think, feel, and believe, today we're fed it. We're fed it into a social silo through multiple platforms. We're fed it all the time, and we have no control or filter in what we're fed, even though we even have difficulty in what we search. So think about all the content in social media, movies, TV shows, and how those shows that you're not in reality with can make us laugh or cry or feel physically exhausted. This is proof that what we view, what we see, can truly affect us emotionally. It puts our energy in motion. And is that energy and emotion of where you want to be or better, or is it interfering with it? Think about the movie San Andreas, which was about the San Andreas fault and the ultimate earthquake, an apocalyptic earthquake. It was so draining watching that movie, if anyone has seen it. It was conflict after conflict after conflict. Even though it was so far beyond reality that it left me drained, exhausted. It had interfered with me in an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source of energy, and it has taken its toll. That movie wasn't just the $14.99 that I spent for a ticket. It was the thousands of dollars of emotional expense that it cost me watching conflict after conflict that interfered with what I wanted to be or better. These vibrations, this frequency of what we consume or is fed to us dictates how we feel. It is a paradigm shift to understand the behaviors of an effect of the behaviors of what we surround ourselves with when it comes to ideas. We need to categorize the ideas that we have. Either are these ideas, is this frequency or vibration created by these ideas accelerating me towards where I want to be or better? Is it aggregating more resources to get me to where I want to be or better? And is it creating exponentiality of positive results of where I want to be or better? Or, like the movie San Andreas, is it interfering with it? The understanding of this flow of energy, the paradigm shift between behaviors and ideas that are progressing towards where we want to be or better, or bad ones, which are completely just indicated by our own personal behaviors of, is this interfering with where we want to be or better? Remember, some movies and ideas, TV shows and social media are good for others and maybe bad for us and vice versa, because it all hinges on where we want, what we want, who we want to help, not what other people want, not what's missing or don't, or what we don't have. So we have to understand the energy that's created in the infinite loop of giving and receiving. And first, let's talk about that loop, because so many people think it's a trade and negotiation, which creates scarcity and interference. The infinite energy that we are part and parcel for, the unified, abundant, infinite system of thought of these ideas, have four components, not just two. It is not just giving to receive. The more I give, the more I'll receive. It's not just that. It's a matter of giving more and then utilizing these ideas in order to incorporate being given more by finding the light, the love, and the lessons in what other people are victimized by. And we are victorialized by. We become victors, not victims, in finding the light, the love, and the lessons, utilizing gratitude and empathy, forgiveness, in order to facilitate seeing what we are given with these ideas and meaning in which we portray or lay upon what is occurring that we don't know or understand, or evidence that's not available or contrary to where we want to be or better. But not everybody sees what they're given. They don't see the promotion, protection, love, and perfection in those ideas. And so they must receive and be worthy of receiving it, so that they realize that in this infinite loop of abundance and an infinite system of intentionality, of a system of thought, ideas, that we have to realize that the giving and receiving are one. And when we receive, we make somebody feel good. We are giving by receiving. And then the ultimate illustration of the infinite loop of giving is actually asking for more, because then we can give more, we're given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. Now we can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. This is how we end up in the energy of the infinite loop of giving and receiving, the oneness of giving and receiving, more than enough of everything for everyone, which, by the way, Friday at 1 o'clock in the quarter at the Super Bowl, they're going to be launching the Meltzer More Than Enough Sandwich, a new category of No Po' Boys. At our company, we emphasize experiencing this infinite loop of giving, this kindness, in three different ways. Giving kindness, the acts of generosity of giving more, like giving to a charity or the homeless, receiving more, allowing ourselves to accept that generosity by seeing what we're given, as well as asking for more in the concept of that infinite loop. But the third way to experience kindness is to witness it, an idea of it, a meaning of it. This is why what we talked about before, what we see affects our reality. And when we witness kindness, just the same as giving and receiving and asking for more, God gives us a doggy biscuit to remind us that this is the act that he wants. It's a reward. So instead of giving us cortisol to create inflammation and disease and interference between where we want to be and better, when we do say, think, feel, and believe kindness, whether it's giving kindness, receiving kindness, asking for kindness, but by witnessing it, the idea of kindness gives us dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphin. Seeing the acts of goodness and kindness inspires us. It's intuitive within the concept of the infinite loop of giving and receiving that all of us can experience. And now people may roll their eyes or mock people with the positivity and optimism or poptimism or toptimism of kindness. But I say that just interferes with where you want to be or better. What other people think about kindness, giving, receiving, asking for more, and witnessing it is your own. Shorten the distance of resistance at other caused by you by identifying whether or not they are accelerating where you want to be or better or interfering with it. Beauty cannot be seen in another if it's not within you. If you want to be loved, love yourself. If you want to be kind to yourself. If you want to be strong with yourself. This is the infinite loop, the giving, receiving, asking for more, but it all needs a witness because the witness experiences the exact same way. And that's why we surround ourselves with kindness, with the idea of the truth, of our potential. We surround ourselves with the right ideas. There's a principle that I've derived from what we've taught so far, and that principle is called the reflection principle. And it's you see what you are. In fact, if we go back to Sanskrit, there's 12 rules of being human that go about telling us that you receive a body for the human experience. You'll learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. If not, they'll be repeated. But the reflection principle is inherent in thousands and thousands of years ago, rules in Sanskrit of being human. And it says others are mirrors of you. This is the reflection principle. You see what you are. If you see kindness inside of you, love inside of you, honesty inside of you, you will see kindness, love, and honesty in the world. If you see only scarcity and insecurity, it's going to be a reflection of what's inside of you as well. So we constantly need to take inventory of ourself, which is made up of selves, selves, C-E-L-L-V-E-S. And these selves have a memory that impact our subconscious mind, which has a repetitive memory, which then talks to the epigenetic layer of our unconscious competency, our genetic DNA, our code, in order to effectuate what you see or is projected from who you are inside of you or what you're doing to interfere with it. You need to practice every day and stay vigilant against the negative influences, the interference of the need to react to fear in the wrong way for the wrong amount of time, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried, etc. You need to be intentional. You got to do, say, think, feel, and believe about who and what you surround yourself with and the meaning of it. Most importantly, why you have to surround yourself with the right ideas. the power of these ideas, the power of thought and imagination can never, ever be underestimated. Because remember, the only way you limit yourself is the meaning you give to your ideas, and it effectuates a limitation of your imagination, a limitation of your self-image, and you never will overachieve your own self-image or your imagination. So never underestimate a single thought. It can change your entire participation in the human experience, because it can change your entire participation in a perspective or a meaning. It's the thoughts that determine your thoughts, and then those thoughts determine your reality. So we give meaning to everything we see. We have the power to be happy or depressed, rich or poor, free or trapped. And it's a distinction between the wisdom that we gather as well as the faith that we have, that instead of being, this is what I want people to think I am, we now take the perspective of surrounding ourselves with the right ideas, which is, I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? Because only one thought can free you as well as condemn you. Only one thought can inspire you as well as depress you. Only one thought can make you shine or create darkness in your life. It's just one thought. And we have the power to think. It's the thoughts about the thoughts, and then the thoughts about our reality, that create the meaning and the perspective that creates our future. And if we're not aligning our thoughts, if we're not aligning our ideas each day to where we want to be or better, we're not going to end up where we want to be or better. We're going to end up where someone else wants us to be, or what's missing or what we don't have, if our thoughts are about what other people want for us, what's missing or we don't have. We give meaning to everything you see. Everything you see outside of you exists within inside of you. There's only one certainty that exists inside of you. We create what's outside of us, and then we institute time, God's guarantee, the 24 hours each day, in order to effectuate the intention of traveling towards where we want to be or better according to what's inside of us. So we align what's inside of us with what's doing well, with what is stable, with what we think is going to do well. We align it with where we want to be or better according to either the circumstances of the day or what we have decided to be non-negotiables. Like, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. Therefore, I'm going to assign the man-made construct of time, the guarantee of 24 hours, to doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing, sleeping well, spending time on my health, with my family, my finance, my faith, studying time, or relativity. This is the power of ideas. This is why we surround ourselves with the right team of ideas, and we play a certain position within the context of that team of ideas, the same way as we do with places and people. To finish up, when I was in law school, I lived in scarcity. I grew up with very little money, but a bunch of love, an amazing mom who worked two jobs, a single mom who worked as a second grade teacher, had six children, five boys and one girl, packed us up into a country squire station wagon, packed our dinner in a paper bag, sometimes purchased by food stamps, and then filled up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. I was full of scarcity. I was living with what other people wanted me to be, what I wanted other people to think I am. I created an entire energy gap with the thoughts and the meaning that I gave my life, which was to be rich so I could buy my mom a house and a car. Thinking and giving meaning to life that money would buy me happiness and love. And when I went to my big sister's graduation party the second year in law school, after my brother had died, after my financial situation was destroyed and I wanted to drop out of law school, I met a man, Grandpa No Way. Grandpa No Way was a 102-year-old Cajun legend. It was in Thibodaux, Louisiana, the graduation party. And my big sister took me to where she grew up on a multi-unit acreage with its own crawfish pond and a biggest vat of oil I've ever seen for deep frying anything and everything they could catch, from gators to shrimp to anything else that they had. And I asked Grandpa No Way first, how'd you get the name No Way? He said, son, when I was born 102 years ago, I was 11 pounds and 6 ounces. And when I came out, my mama said, no way. And so I became No Way. And I am now Grandpa No Way. And I asked Grandpa No Way, what are the secrets of life? Which I tend to do with anyone that lives a long time, because I know that it's wisdom and faith that gets me to where I want to be or better. It's wisdom and faith in that idea that shortens the distance of resistance. And so I always wonder, because only time can allow us to have more wisdom and more faith. And he said, son, the secret to life is just keep laughing. Dave, every day, every hour, y'all can. Laughter is the cure to everything. And y'all have to stay positive. You give meaning to everything you see. You need to surround yourself with the right sounds, the right actions, the right activities, the right people, the right energy, and most importantly, son, the right ideas. Surround yourself like Grandpa No Way with the right ideas. Find inside of you what you want outside of you. Do say, think, feel, and believe the thoughts about your thoughts, which become the thoughts about your reality. Understand the power of the ideas you surround yourself with. You will elevate your awareness through the vibration, the frequency, the strength of the signal, the spectrum of the signal, and the clarity of your message. And I promise you, you will accelerate, aggregate, and compound the coincidence that you want in your life, the consequences, the results, the outcomes, despite the evidence not being there or being contrary to where you want to be. I promise you, if you surround yourself with the right ideas, you will live in abundance. You will realize the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that controls our thoughts. And those thoughts control our reality. This has been the Surround Yourself with the Right Ideas training. Enough listening to me, because it's not what I say, it's what you hear. It's time that I listen for what you're more interested in than me being interesting. Nick of Wam, you're a well-oiled machine. You are a young superstar. Can you reset the room?
Absolutely. And thank you so much, David, for an incredible first half of the Surround Yourself with the Right Ideas training. For everybody that is joining us, let's get rocking and rolling with some Q&A here. I'd love to get started live on Clubhouse. We have Colleen, who's patiently waiting with the first question of the day. So Colleen, great to see you here. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Good morning. Yes, thank you so much. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Okay, so one of the common themes from the training today, and I just, it kept, the word kept hitting me, was your power. So I think, you know, even in the topic of surrounding yourself with the right people with the right ideas, it's so hard for people to understand their own power in being that force within either your friend group or your community or your work. So when you talk about power, I think a difficult thing is harnessing it, understanding it, seeing it within yourself. What practice do you use in harnessing your own power to make those changes?
So power is equated to frequency vibration, because in my perspective, we're connected to and through an omniscient and all powerful source of energy. And this stems from the wisdom that I've gathered from being more interested than interesting, but most importantly, a best option faith that the best option to live the human experience is to believe, because it can't be proven. There's no evidence, or a lot of times the evidence is contrary to this, that there's something bigger than me, an omniscient, all powerful source that loves me, protects me, promotes me, and perfects me. So in the essence of, you know, harnessing this power in whatever divine direction or whatever detour occurs in order to bring the divine to that, to protect, promote, indicate that we have a better place to be, whatever you perceive. It's a shift in a paradigm to, one, seek the wisdom, but also have the faith to understand, when no evidence is there or evidence is contrary to us getting there, that we need to figure out what we're doing to interfere with that power. Because we are part of an infinite, abundant, unified system of power, of intention, activated by what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. And if we are doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing, interfering with that power, we're going to have less power. I look at myself at 57 compared to me at 25. At 25, I was younger, stronger, faster, but I have more power today than I've ever had. I have more energy today than I've ever had. And the reason is not because I'm stronger or faster. The power is derived because I spend less time interfering with it. I spend less time reacting to the fear in the interference, F-E-A-R. So I identify the clues of how I interfere with it, and then I look for patterns of how I interfere, and I make different choices in surrounding myself with the right ideas. I have a cancel, clear, connect methodology that I use. I have a stop, drop, and roll methodology, which is included in the exercise that I'll give everybody. Just email me. But you don't harness power. You just interfere with it. And when we realize I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? We can understand, if we have faith that there's something bigger than us, an omniscient, all-powerful source, that I'm just interfering with it. Now, if you don't subscribe or prescribe to something bigger than you that loves you, promotes you, protects you, an omniscient, all-powerful source, then it's probably not going to work for you. You'll be searching for something your entire life that you'll never receive. You'll just dissipate and dissolve all the power as you get older and older, not derive more power by figuring out what you're doing to interfere with it. This key paradigm shift will create the ability to live your life at a higher frequency awareness, but also a more powerful energy to surround yourself with the right people, places, things, and ideas, the right ideas that you have in order to effectuate a exponential or compounding effect of energy. And this is one of the key lessons that is incorporated as a backbone of everything, is having wisdom and faith to shorten the distance of resistance, not trying to go get it. Does that sound fair?
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Nick of Womness, let's make sure everybody's piling in the questions. What do you want me to do?
Absolutely. Let's stay live here on Clubhouse, and then we will go ahead and take one from online. But on Clubhouse, we have, and I know there is no relation, but there is the Eric Meltzer who was waiting patiently. So we got to show the Meltzer some love here, sharing the abundance. Eric, it's great to see you, my friend. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Cool. Thank you so much. Happy Friday. So my question, so what I have found is that when I am basically in tune with my spiritual practice, and I feel like the wisdom of the universe permeates myself and my cells. But sometimes I kind of just I can forget it. What do you do to maintain that state of being open to the wisdom and the energy of the universe when sometimes you just don't feel like it?
Yeah. Great question, Eric, and thank you. So in the construct of not feeling, so the highest level of intention is feeling. So sometimes we're doing the right things, saying the right things, thinking the right things, believing the right things, but we don't feel it. And it's the feeling that's the highest level of intention, the highest frequency of thought is how a thought makes us feel, because that's the energy in motion. And so if we're not feeling it, then we're interfering with the feeling. And so what we want to do is to stop and not resist it. Free will to me is the ability to stop and not resist, not out logic, out analyze, go over, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it. And so when I'm not feeling it, I don't try to feel it. When I'm not feeling it, I don't keep on cold calling. I don't keep on running. I don't, whatever it is, I stop. And I breathe and I drop. To what? Why am I stopping and dropping? To remind myself, remember myself, recollect myself with the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source. And now I'm prepared to roll into the divine direction with divine detours and in its divine time, in the right places, in the right time, in the right ideas. And so a lot of people when they're not feeling it, they accelerate the feeling by resisting it, by going over and under it, through it, around it, lying to it, cheating, manipulating it, denying it, instead of just stopping. Breathing through the nose and out through the mouth and dropping so that they can remember, and recollect with their God, with their source, and then roll into their divine. A divine direction which transforms and re-engineers divine detours into divine time, which allows us to utilize the omniscient, all-powerful energy to accelerate us towards where we want to be or better, to aggregate all the resources. Think about the word resource. We become a resource to aggregate and then to create the exponentiality of outcomes in that alignment with the divine direction that we want to be in or better, transforming us into something better, to live at a higher frequency and vibration, to be more aware, to elevate us, to elevate others. It's a simple formula based off of wisdom and faith, but it's important to know that the strongest utilization of free will is not to resist. It's not to go over, under, through, around, to lie, manipulate, or cheat, or deny, or out-logic it, or out-reason it. It's to remind, remember, and recollect, and we got to stop first and breathe to get to ease so that we can remind, remember, and recollect with our source to become a resource to aggregate, accelerate, and compound our outcomes exponentially, even though there's no evidence, or even worse, there may be contrary evidence that we're never going to get to where we want to be or better. But in the divine direction, that detour you're thinking about or feeling becomes divine, and you're allowing for a divine time, for a revelation and a salvation to reveal to you the best course, to indicate to you a better place, a better position, a better idea in which you can be in by giving it that meaning. Excellent, Eric Meltzer. I look forward to speaking with you later. Thank you for being a big part of our community, as so many others. Everybody, if you like the exercises and guides on surrounding yourself with the right ideas, if you like my book, if you'd like to join our private networking group of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other, we make a lot of money. We help a lot of people. We have a lot of fun. David@dmeltzer.com. It's that easy. David@dmeltzer.com. Email me. All right, Nick of Womness, what do you want me to do now?
Let's go ahead and take a question online. I know we have so many of them.
Yeah, let me grab, I got one right here. Is that cool? Perfect. Yeah, Karen Olson has it here. How do you create boundaries when encountering sad/bad situations, which I define as interfering situations from where I want to be or better, so you don't absorb them and instead maintain a positive mindset with options to affect change and be helpful or positive? So in the context of boundaries are a framework, and utilizing a framework, one, to identify how you relate to circumstances. Because in order to effectuate a bad or a sad, a good or a happy situation, you have to know just one thing: where I want to be or better. Because anything aligned, the behaviors that are aligned with where you want to be or better are considered happy and good. Anything that interferes with it is considered bad or sad. And so in a framework of understanding, one, do I have behaviors that are non-circumstantial? For me, it's assigning time, a minimum amount of time every day on my sleep, on my health, on my family, on my faith, on my finance, on my study of time and relativity. And within the context of sleep and those few activities, it equals about 10 to 11 hours a day, which leaves me 13 or 14 hours to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, as long as I want, because I know the non-negotiables, the non-circumstantial behavior will always keep me in a positive, divine direction. And it allows me, when I have non-negotiables that are non-circumstantial, regardless of the temperatures and the fires and the interest rates and the flat tires and the airplane crashes and everything else that can create bad or sad situations in my life, that I know that 90% of my positivity will come from the non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior that I'm committed to doing every single day, 7 days a week for 10 to 11 hours, including my sleep. And once again, that allows me to just practice prioritization of happy and good behavior according to the circumstances of the day, 13 or 14 hours of the day. So when I have a flat tire or there's a plane crash or the temperature isn't where I want it to be, or of course there's the fires or whatever else may happen, I now know that I want to stay aligned with where I want to be or better and figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it, which that interfering behavior is bad or sad according to only one thing, where I want to be or better, not where other people want us to be, not what's missing or not what we don't have. And so creating boundaries, not by a framework outside of us, but by a framework inside of us to allow us control the uncertainty of circumstances by creating non-negotiable behavior, regardless of the circumstances, and using prioritization as an antidote to the circumstances when we start to accelerate in the wrong direction, utilizing the stop, drop, and roll mechanism that I'll include in the exercises and guides that I'll give you today at my email, david@dmeltzer.com. So create boundaries according to circumstances, not a framework. Understand the difference between sad and bad and good and happy, and then utilize in a positive mindset the options, opportunities, and touches of favor, the promotion, protection, love, and perfection that's created by boundaries in the framework of circumstance with non-negotiable and negotiable behavior. Behavior, which is defined by good and happy, is aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad and sad is interfering with it. And when we practice this, we'll get better at it. We'll get more comfortable and confident in it. And then it just becomes part of our subconscious, our response repetitive system, and then it activates in the epigenetic layer, our energy, our inherited energy, and our genetic energy changes in the trajectory or divine direction in which we want it to be, regardless of linear time, all within the divine. And so once again, create boundaries according to circumstance of non-negotiable and negotiable behavior, and you'll get to where you want to be or better, faster, with more of the right ideas, and exponentially, the outcomes will be created. Your reality will be created exponentially, regardless of the evidence that you don't know or understand anyway, the evidence that's not there or the evidence that's contrary to where you want to be or better. These are the boundaries, the common denominators that you utilize in order to effectuate moving into the happy and positive direction. What a great question, Nick of Guam. We got about 7 minutes left. And we got a lot going on. What's up next?
Absolutely. We have Leslie, who is here live on Clubhouse, ready for the next question. So, Leslie, it's great to see you here. Thank you for your patience. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away. Leslie, bottom right-hand corner is the unmute. There we go.
Thank you. I see it's my Clubhouse anniversary, and I'm on Clubhouse because of Dave from years and years ago. But my question is, it's kind of in the vein, I guess, of what everybody has been saying today, but one of the things you said to me in 2018 and then in 2020, apparently maybe I need to live every 4 years, is to pray for their happiness rather than let the things upset you. And maybe it's the logic attorney part of me that I want to fix things I can't fix. But with Colleen's question about power and controlling your power, how can we accept, I guess, less interference while maintaining our stance and moral? It just seems, I mean, I know it's maybe the logic part of me again. It's just easier said than done.
Of course it's easier said than done. Let me tell you why. Because the simple things to do are simple not to do. And so it's easier said than done, because the simple things to do are simple not to do, including saying thank you. So think about things in the context in which you created them, but also think of things in the context of what you control. You only control what's inside of you, and you give meaning to what's inside of you. And so if other people are not aligned with the meaning inside of them, which is the meaning inside of you, you can't change the meaning inside of them. So the best thing you can do is assess by the relativity, the association, and how much from the feeding and bleeding of that relationship and association, are they feeding you? Notice I said, how much are they feeding you from the feeding and bleeding? Because I have children, especially one of them right now, that is bleeding me. I love her to death, and it's feeding me so much because she's bleeding me. My mom's in hospice. She's bleeding me, but that bleeding is feeding me. And so when we look within a criteria of analysis in your logical lawyer being, which unfortunately you and I are both trained in the same methodologies and modalities of being lawyers, I then give a framework of saying, okay, within the context of the relativity, the association, and how much somebody feeds me by the bleeding and feeding, and I can prioritize how much I allow that person to fall away or fire them, and regardless, not try to change them, but change myself. And the best way to change my meaning of you is to pray for you. Pray for your happiness, because happy people don't do fucked up shit. Excuse my language, everyone, but I just mean it. Think about it. The happiest people in the world don't do dumb shit as often. They don't attack. Happy people don't attack. That's why there's a difference between alcohol, which can make people angry, and getting high. Like, very few stoners in the world ever fight. Why? Because they're freaking happy. Now, maybe utilizing artificial substance in order to effectuate some sort of joy, happiness, or entertainment. But think about it. Happy people don't attack you. And so when we pray for their happiness, that's the meaning that we give it. It exonerates us into forgiveness and gratitude and allows them to change in their time, not ours. And we can only pray for their happiness. We can't even pray for their change. And so the best mechanism and modality is to look within ourselves and ask ourselves, one, have we done what they're doing to us? Two, what don't I like about them? That must be inside of me. And three, I pray for their happiness according to the relativity association and how much I'm being fed or bled by the feeding or bleeding, determinative upon the relativity association that I give them. And so I pray for everyone's happiness, especially when they're attacking me, especially when they do things or I perceive that they do things to intentionally harm me, or I examine whether or not I've done it in my past, and I use gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons and forgiveness of myself for the things that bug the shit out of me from that person. And I forgive myself for doing those things or feeling that way and forgive them and pray for their happiness. And so use your logic to your advantage by doing some sort of analysis in a framework that's best suited for you and the people that you surround yourself with as well. Does that sound fair?
Yes, that's awesome. Thank you.
You are awesome. Come back in another 5 years and visit us. I'm just joking. Come back next week. We'd love for you to join our group. Thank you. All right. This has been amazing. This has been the Surround Yourself with the Right Ideas training. We are blessed to have a community of people. We do have a private networking group with one-on-one access to me. Please join. It's a bunch of people that are going to buy from each other, sell for each other, help each other, know people, help each other. It's a guaranteed community. So we are only looking for curated people that want to do this intentionally. If you'd like the guides, exercises, or my book, david@dmeltzer.com. If you would like to be invited to all the stuff we have going on, not obligated, david@dmeltzer.com, or join our text group, 949-298-2905. That should appear on your screen. Anyone that's been attending the stuff, just reach out to them. Ask them, is it worth your time, money? If it's required, a lot of things we do is free. Members obviously can come at cost to shit that cost us, but please join us. The bigger the community, the more powerful we are as a collective consciousness. But regardless, remember this, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.